Hello, junkies, crackheads, stoners, pill poppers, booze bags, coke fiends, ravers, rockers, hippies, hobos, potheads, wastoids, losers, hipsters, racists, therapists, professors, homophobes, flaming homosexuals, big book thumpers, 12-steppers, hypnotists, skinheads, Mormons, Jews, agnostics, Eskimos, and any and all other members of the Dopey Nation. Welcome to Dopey, the podcast on drug addiction and dumb shit. And here's Dave and Chris.
Thank you, Ben. Here we are again.
Did you write that little thing? Oh, you did.
Okay.
It's good.
And so, weird God/Todd shot moment as we are sitting here. We just finished recording an episode where we had done a Twitter request for what we're going to do on the show, and good old Scott Countryman starts barraging us with tweets. He's still going. Yeah. The third tweet was, when's the next time Todd is coming on the show? And as he tweeted it, Todd comes to the door.
Here he is.
Hey, what's up, Dopey?
And not only is he on the show, he's here in person. This
first
is a milestone for Dopey.
True.
I have to say one thing, though. I'm very taken aback by the bicked head. It's scary.
You look nothing like what I thought you were going to look like. Either,
really?
At all. Your picture with the thing over it, like, I thought I had an idea of what you were going to look like, but it's totally not what I envisioned in my
head. It feels aggressive and scary a little bit. I'm nervous.
It's okay. Don't let the shine fool you.
He told me you had brown curly hair.
I used to.
Yeah. And the picture you posted of him.
He's always wearing a hat.
You're wearing a hat.
I used to wear a hat because I had a receding hairline at a very young age, so I was always wearing hats.
Is that why you bicked it?
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I figured you've got to go full in. You know, you're going full in with this kind of thing where you're, you know, just denial, I guess, about it.
So how do you feel, like there's a guy I work with, okay?
Wait, how do you feel being a Jewish guy with a bicked head?
I get considered, people ask me if I'm a skinhead all the time.
He doesn't like Jewish people. He doesn't like being Jewish.
He just looked at the Empire State Building, which has green and red on it, and said, what is this, like, Italian coloring?
Well, it is. It's not Christmas time anymore. It's afternoon.
Well, he might not like Jewish people. He's very Jewish to not say that's a Christmas.
I didn't see it.
But you know what, dude? Forgive me, but I think a week after Christmas, it's some Italian shit. It's not even some fucking.
The Italians
Christian
are super
thing.
Catholic, anyways.
They did the candy cane top. I think is really what puts the whole thing together.
My point is, in the history of Jews that I've known, few have disliked themselves as much as Todd.
Oh yeah, I hate being Jewish.
See?
Really?
He doesn't like being Jewish, but he'll take advantage of it when he can. Like,
he
likes shtick and he likes all that stuff. But then at the same time, he doesn't want to look Jewish. He doesn't want to be seen. Oh my God, he thought I was Jewish. He will say something like that.
Well, no, I wouldn't care about really necessarily about that. Like, I'm not ashamed of being Jewish. Yeah. I don't make it my identity. Though.
You don't look Jewish. Dave looks Jewish.
Yeah, I'm undercover Jew.
I'm incredibly Jewish.
Yeah, I'm an undercover Jew. Yeah. And my last name's not Jewish. You know, it's just like, you know, it's just, you know, whatever. So it's undercover.
Undercover Jew. Scott Countryman is going at it. He says his dog Ranger has better taste in music than Chris.
All right.
He says...
No argument there.
He said, this is what $10,000 of truffle looks like. I wanted to steal them, but I am sober and did not.
It looks like nuggets to me. Big nuggets.
So Todd recently went to Fish, which Scott is a big...
Hey, what the fuck? Fish is in New York, like,
dude,
all the time
now.
They had
the Baker Dozen, and then they come back in for their New Year's Eve special. But I heard we became very close with our... We had a suite, so we had a bartender that we had the first round for the Baker Dozen, and then we had him again for New Year's, so we
wait, what
close.
Do you mean you had a suite?
There's a suite that my friend, he works for a bank, so, like, whenever there's a good show, he can get us tickets, free tickets, and it's, like, a suite where we have our own bartender, couches, our own bathroom, we get served at our table.
And you just get along for the ride. You have to throw anything
there
in the pot.
Just chilling.
That's awesome.
You know, we tip, you know, you tip him at the end of the night, but, like, yeah. So he told us that Billy Joel is, like, you know, so pissed off at Fish because he wanted to perform on New Year's Eve, unbeknownst to him that Fish does this like every year.
How could he not know that?
He was really pissed off because he thought since he plays there every month and he has this residency that MSG loves him more than they love Fish and they would let him do a New Year's special. Yeah. But they were like, you know, sorry.
But that's all business. Fish signs a lease to do 20 New Year's or something. They signed a lease for New Year's for 20 years or something. I heard about that.
Well, the thing, it ran out. It was a five-year contract. It ran out. They renewed it, and that's why he was pissed off, because they didn't let... I guess the bid wasn't good enough for them, so they let Fish take the New Year's run. So that's why they're here all the time. It just seems like that. It was just...
Someone said they were going to Fish. I was like, weren't they just
here? Yeah, I saw it. Like,
but the interesting thing, and Todd, tell me if I'm saying too much... I had the pleasure of seeing Todd a few weeks ago.
Wait. Let me ask one question real quickly. I've only been to one Fish concert, and it was in Limestone, Maine. It was fucking crazy. But it was just like, it was like lawless. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it was just
was
like
awesome.
Open air drug markets. Is it like that in Madison Square Garden? Do people sell like mushrooms and shit, or is
they
it pretty?
They do, but it's on very
it's like shady.
It's hard to get drugs like at the MSG show.
Okay,
I had a hard time.
It's not like the festivals where it's just like they just like permit.
Because there's undercover cops everywhere.
Hold on, time out.
Yes.
How hard a time did you have?
I mean, for me, it was a hard time. For me, it took
you what 20 minutes?
No, it took me a set the first night
to get what
to get Molly.
Yeah,
and then the second night I ran into an old friend who had a friend with him, and he just gave me like a little personal for me and my friend, which was more than enough.
So it was someone you knew even the second time.
But people weren't like, stay. The only thing actually I got was one of those medical marijuana cartridges for like $40.
Oh, okay.
I found that out.
Yeah, they're like walking around like mushroom chocolate. They're yelling it out.
Because that's like, you know, it's a shutdown, you know, it's a community, and it's like,
it was Canadian Mounties there.
I remember that show. That was a great time. Yeah. So, man, that was a long
time. I ate an ounce of mushrooms on that show.
Holy shit.
Yeah, it took me like an hour, and I lost it.
Oh, my
God. If you eat too much mushrooms, you actually like black out.
I've never had that. See, I was never a big eat a lot of mushrooms. I was more of an acid guy, so I've never experienced that. Because that's why.
Yeah,
I'm afraid.
You brown out, and then all you think just having it like you burp, and it's just with you forever. At one point, I was walking, and all of a sudden, I noticed I was in a field with like mud up to my knees, and I was like alone, and like I didn't know what I was doing.
But that's the thing about acid versus mushrooms. That you take mushrooms like that, you're eating.
It's hard for me to eat like an eighth of it.
And
it's literally just an hour of eating.
And you're eating it, and you're like, you know, and like acid is just a dose. It's However, that mushroom shit sits horrible in your stomach.
So it's a poison you're eating too. It's a poison.
It's a totally
too high.
Dude, that was
so nasty.
That show, and I vaguely remember this. I got like obsessed with emotions, and I wanted to see people's emotions change. So I'd be like really fucking nice to somebody, and then I'd be like a dickhead, or I'd be like aggressive, and then like start tickling them because I just wanted to see my friends' like emotional states change. And then everybody was like, "Dude, nobody even wanted to get near you last night, but nobody wanted to leave you alone either." So we were like wanted to be like basically within 20 feet of you, but nobody wanted to look at you or talk to you.
The only emotion you got was you're annoying.
Yeah, it was not taking. Tickling me. I'm just trying to watch a show, bro. Yeah. Lay off, man.
I never saw a set there.
Oh, yeah, my
I stayed
God,
in the
really?
Parking.
Well,
I stayed
so
in the lot
high.
The whole time.
We'd be able to handle
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I stayed in the lot. Yeah.
I mean, I'd be laying in a field somewhere, just you know, feeling my running my fingers through my hair.
So, and we got a message, Linda and I, from the guy who had the suite that said, "I'm experiencing Todd on Dopey right now." And it was one of the. You must have been
like
fucked up at Fish.
I was.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So yeah,
that was
high.
The Molly, or
that was the Molly. I candy flipped. I did a dose, and I did a little bit of Molly.
Are you a candy flipper there?
The only time I candy flipped was when I relapsed in New York. I relapsed.
Oh yes.
I let it out. I went to the liquor store. I bought a pint of Smirnoff, and I chugged the pint with no chaser in front of the red. Like right after I bought it, I like took a sidestep, drank it in front of the liquor store guy, and I looked so shitty that the guy was just like, he just let me do it. He was saying. Then I went back and I took like five hits of acid and two hits of MDMA,
oh my God,
And it was these ones off the dark web that it said take half of a one.
Oh, shit.
And I took two. It was those Supermans.
Holy shit.
And
it
was, yeah, and then my family drove out here and brought me back to Boston.
That is so bad. That must have been one hell of a trip. My God.
It was like tracers, like 24 hours later. Like, I was, like, normal, but, like, you're, like, you're still, like, hallucinating.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what
yeah.
I mean? Like, I still had, like, tracers. And I was, like, you had to get cleared in the ER to go into detox. I'm, like, in the ER, like, trip. It was the worst
thing. I can't imagine.
They're like, what happened? You're like, oh my God. Got these Superman mollies off the dark web. I said to take a half of one, but I took two. Like, all right, we got the dark Superman of the dark web coming in.
Yeah.
It's like the details of our life are so, and then you turn up to the emergency room and you have the stupidest details. Like, yeah. I was candy flipping. They only had the Saddam Hussein acid. Fucking, I didn't know what I was doing. It's like, okay, you got another one.
That acid was actually Albert Hoffman acid.
Whoa.
It was a picture of Albert Hoffman, and then there was clear. There was like each hit was like there was like a clear piece. It was like so intricately done. It was like blotter, but then like actual like film within Whoa. It. Yeah, it was like
see,
really
that's pretty cool. That's yeah. that's like all
that's dark web stuff.
Yeah, yeah. I have a couple blotter pieces of art. Like I have a Homer Simpson thing that's like a it's a sheet of
like non-dosed.
It's a thousand hits of. I gotta show you this thing. You've never seen it before. It's beautiful. It's like Homer Simpson.
You have framed
like,
or something?
It's in plastic, like inside yeah. my book, though, because I don't want to have it sitting out.
Yeah.
It
but like it's non-dosed.
It's non-dosed.
Yeah.
So funny. You have a framed dose, you know, in case of emergency.
Crack glass. Lick the page. You know, take fucking 100 hits at once.
There's an Instagram account of just blotter art.
It's beautiful. Yeah. There's a store in Boulder when I live there, and they sell great posters. So we went in there, and that's where I found the blotter art. I'm like, holy shit, this is a thing. I didn't even realize it.
Yeah.
But they like literally had they made so many beautiful prints there. I wanted to buy a ton of them, but they were expensive. I think that was like, I think they were $25 a sheet.
Oh, really?
You know, just for like, you know. So I bought like two. I got the Homer Simpson, and I got an Alice in Wonderland thing, just in case, which is pretty.
How big are they? They're little.
It's like you know, it's you know, 1,000 hits. So.
Yeah.
Like I don't know what that is by what that is, but
it's 1,000 hits.
It's 1,000 hits, yeah. So maybe that'd be a book. It's basically what I got.
What's a Bible? Isn't a Bible?
A Bible
something?
Is ten. Is
ten
is,
books?
Is ten.
Did
ten
you tell
books.
That story?
The what? The old. I don't think we ever told that story.
That was this story was like the first. And first of all, we're all laughing around this stuff. I want to say something very depressing, and forgive me.
Please.
2 weeks ago.
You ready for this, Todd?
I'm thinking the whole
thing. He's going to probably pummel you right now.
Back to school here. No, it's not that bad. It's not like that. But me and Todd are walking up the street, and it was the first time I hung out with Todd literally in 14 months.
Yeah, we've seen each other in ages.
14
yeah.
months. He was miserable, and he said, the only thing I want to kill myself, except I'm going to see fish, and I'm going to eat and drink for free. So now we're on the other side of that, and he looks relatively joyful. Did you get high
so
before
in that,
you came here?
So in that
no,
moment,
I'm sure. I had a good day at work. Things with work are going really well. They love me. They just told me to... that they're moving me downstairs, so I'm going to start making some big money starting next week, which is great.
I feel
works.
Like everything I've heard for you, like your job history, it's like they love you,
yeah,
and then something happens and it's really bad and they hate you.
You know where he works, though, Chris?
This place is great, yeah.
He works in the restaurant upstairs.
We can't...
It doesn't even matter. It doesn't even matter where he's upstairs from. Because we can't tell you.
It's a famous place. It's a famous place.
Do I know
place.
It for sure?
Yeah,
you
we'll
know tell
it.
You off
okay,
here, but right. it's a great spot, and everyone there is.
Is it
like
good
cool.
money?
Yeah, it's going to be great. It's going to be, you know, it's probably going to be like what I envision.
We'll see what it is.
Yeah.
I mean,
okay.
We're talking about
supposed,
waiter money.
It's supposed
so,
to be good. You
okay.
know, it's supposed to be
yeah.
good.
Now,
so.
I figure we have Todd here, and Todd has so many stories. Like
yeah.
the It's just, I'm going to have to temper them all with the misery because Todd has not found, you know, recovery. God bless him. But I think we should start, because Todd mentioned the Book of Acid, why don't you tell this that first story?
But also, I will say that you're here doing dopey, sober right now, and
right.
you don't have work tomorrow.
No, no.
You're not out getting fucked up.
That's why I wanted to come over.
Really?
Yeah.
What would you have done otherwise?
I was afraid if I just sat in my apartment, like, I'd probably go and use, of course.
Use so. What?
I'd probably get high on dope. What the fuck else am I going to do?
Yeah.
Sitting alone in my apartment, it's miserable. I hate it.
Yeah.
So sad. I have a couple movies, though. I went to a bunch of shit from the library, so I had, at least I had some movies.
What are you watching movies on? You have a DVD player?
Yeah. I got the, you know, I got the, or the Xbox, whatever.
Ah. Tell the book story.
The book story. All right. So, God, that story. Yeah, this is going to rip me up, though. That's, yeah, that's a tough one.
It's only going to get worse.
But, yeah.
Todd, this is your life.
Yeah, I guess Chris never heard it. I don't think, you shouldn't have heard this story, I guess. All right. So, anyway. We were in school. This is like the early 90s.
In Ithaca.
Ithaca College. Yep, me and Dave. We just became friends around that time, right?
We had been friends for
about a year, right?
No, about 2 years.
2 years?
Because I had already left.
Oh, shit, that's right. Okay, yeah, it's a good thing you're here because I'm going to, these little details I'm probably going to. So, yeah, so Dave, we met in Ithaca. Dave had already left. So there was still our little group, a couple of us that, you know, Dave left behind. It was me, our other friend.
Ryan, who's been on the show.
Ryan.
Okay. The conspiracy who called in.
Right. So Ryan was there. Our friend Rona. Rona, what up if you're listening?
She's not listening. I hope not.
Probably not. But I had this great idea because the Grateful Dead were coming to MSG. This was when Jerry Garcia was still alive. God bless the man. So long ago.
This is like early 90s.
This is like 94. Yeah. So we're like, it was bad, Jerry, but it was still Jerry. You know, he was still there. And I'm like, why don't we all go to MSG and buy a book of acid, and we'll bring it back to Ithaca, and we'll make a ton of money because everyone's always looking for acid there, and no one really has it. And like, you know, I just saw like a little section of demand that nobody was filling. So why don't we go down there and pick up a book of acid and bring it back? So, you know, sure enough,
remember that guy George we used to buy all the red
that was acid? that was this is after that because that's where we were getting. That's what, you know, what we thought drove Ryan crazy was all those sunshine acid that he was eating from George. This guy from the meadow in the park.
I told that story on Dopey. Okay. That's the one where we got so high and I was... That's the gay tripper. That's
the gay tripper story. Yeah.
So,
like bong.
Yeah.
So we go down to see the show and we get the book and, you know, pretty easily too. I think I found that shit. I didn't know anybody.
That's pretty crazy. You get 1,000 hits of acid easily.
Within a half an hour of looking for it, I found someone was willing...
Do you even have to check if it's real? Like, or just you just got to be real?
They did. Like, they...
Who are you with?
It was... I think
how do you check if it's real?
They took out the book, and I remember that was all I really had done because I took a tester strip to try it. But I mean, really honestly,
it hadn't even kicked in. You're just like,
if it was fake, I wouldn't have really fucking known until it was way too fucking late because I already handed over the money. I don't really know how I would have possibly. Yeah. But they're like, hey, man, you can try it. You know, go ahead, take a nip off of it, and I did. Sure enough, but like, yeah, you're right. Like, I would never really know if it was fake or not.
Yeah.
But we got lucky. But it was the Dead.
If somebody's told me that too, I'd buy it. Yeah,
you know,
it's the Dead.
Yeah.
How much
was
the book? You think?
I think it was like $500. I'm thinking. No, it wasn't cheaper than that.
That's so crazy, though. It's just like acid in general. Like, that's enough acid for a long fucking time.
Yeah, I think it was like, I think it was like $50 a page. So I think it was like, I think it was cheap because we all threw in money for it. Me, Rona, and Ryan.
Yeah.
We were the three people that threw. And I think I was with her. I remember her being there. I don't think Ryan was there for some reason. He might have been. I don't know. Ryan, if you were there. Say, you know, I don't know. You can
let us know. You can tweet us.
But so we got this shit. We go back to we saw the show, and then we go back to Ithaca. So like we just gotten back. I don't even think I sold any of it like yet. I think like it was I just had picked it up. The only thing that was missing from it was the two fucking hits that we had ripped off to try that night. So we get back to, you know, we get back to school. I start, you know, telling people that I had it. But in the meantime, I had taken a semester off from school the semester prior. So, like, I was living in Colorado as a ski bum that semester.
Yeah.
So, long story short, I didn't get to pick my roommate when I moved when I decided that, you know, I got to go back to
you got
school.
A random.
I got a random roommate.
Yeah, yeah.
And this guy was a geek, a fucking total asshole, like science nerd, totally the opposite of me. Like, I was this hippie.
Whenever you told
he wasn't into LSD.
Whenever you told me this story, I'd always pictured it. I didn't realize you were going back to live on campus.
I was living in the Heights. I was in the Heights. It was shit right before the Heights. It was where
Jake and them lived?
Yeah,
where you lived
yeah,
the first
yeah.
place? I ran into Pete Pugliese on the street recently.
Oh, my God.
Anyway, continue.
We're going to have topic. But, all right. It was on campus, but, like, it felt like off-campus living because, like,
it was an apartment. It was an on-campus apartment.
All right. Yeah.
So this guy is a total – we're not fighting, but we don't really get along.
Yeah.
You know, so –
you have nothing in common.
Nothing in common.
No relationship.
He was trying to, like, you know, once in a while, like, feign interest in my music. You know, oh, who's this? Not to the Dead, or, you know, this, you know, whoever I was, Bob Marley. He didn't even know who Bob Marley was.
Yeah.
I should know that right there. That was, I should just moved out.
Yeah.
So one day, Ryan comes over, and, you know, it just happened to be that my roommate was in the apartment when we were there, and he just, like, lets it slip, like, just fucking around for some stupid reason. Hey, you know, Carl, have you tried that yet? And he's like, tried what? And he goes, oh, the acid in your freezer. So he gets really quiet.
Yeah.
And he's like, you know, and I'm like looking at Ryan, like, dude, are you fucking, what are you fucking doing?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Dude, fuck. You know, I have a fucking federal fucking penitentiary shit in my goddamn, you know, freezer, and you're laying
it's not like five
geek,
hits either.
Yeah, my geek fucking roommate, no. Yeah. So
I forgot what actually happened to us.
You know, it's horrible. Yeah. So whatever. So that happens, and then, like, I don't really.
You don't have a conversation with him about it?
No, he yeah. just, you know,
you
I
don't
sure
think
him,
anything of it.
I don't really think that much about it. And then, so I just met the love of my life at the time, this girl, Emily. We, like, you know, we met in class and fell in love. So there's this, you know, that after he said something to him,
She was really hot too.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Carl was just gone. And, like, I was psyched because I had the fucking place to my.
Your nerdy roommate was gone.
Okay. Hold on for one second. Just to paint a picture. At this time, Todd is, like, the hippiest of hippies.
Okay.
He's wearing, like, these, you know, big pants and always wearing a different tie-dye and Pumas. And
selling weed.
He wears one of these Rasta Tams on his head.
Yeah.
And Emily is, like, the quintessential hippie girl. She's wearing flowery dresses dirty blonde straight hair, beautiful,
gorgeous.
Like, from Connecticut. Like, waif.
No, she's from Wappinger's Falls.
Wherever. I don't care.
The point is...
That they're, like, the quintessential. They have a fucking pit bull dog.
No, that was no.
He has a hammer, a wild man, and shit.
I was living on campus.
Okay, so you're dating the hot girl.
Roommate's gone all the time.
And they're
now, and I'm not and thinking hippies. About it. So I'm loving it though because, like, I have this, you know, we just in Matt, we had all this time to be together without him around.
Yeah.
And I'm not really thinking anything about it. So it's like October 30th.
Yeah.
And I'm getting ready to go to a Halloween party.
Yeah.
So now it's been 7 days. I have not seen Carl, who was my roommate, at all.
He's gone.
Just a ghost.
Yeah.
Once again, I am smoking a lot of weed at the time, thinking nothing of it, fucking my girlfriend, having the best time.
Yeah.
Doesn't really care. So all of a sudden I hear keys in the door. And I'm like, oh shit, fucking Carl's back.
Yeah.
All of a sudden I see badges and dark suits. The next thing I see is my back door getting swung open. Next thing you know, I'm swarmed by 30 cops. I've got a knee on my back. I'm thrown on the floor. There's guns in my head. Don't move. You're under arrest. You know, like, I don't know what the
fuck is
going on. Is
it just you?
I'm alone in the apartment this time. And there's 30 cops, like, throwing me to the ground. They're going through my shit.
Really? 30 cops?
There was, like, 30, probably 10. Maybe it was 10. Yeah. Scary shit. Probably 10.
A lot of cops.
It was the thing.
Several cops.
They had nothing else to do there, so I'm sure it was at least 10.
Yeah.
So I don't know what the fuck's going on, and they sit me up in a chair as they're going through my whole apartment, blah 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 blah, and I'm like, what is going on? And they're like, we know that you have drugs in here. Why don't you just tell us where they are? I'm like, I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. And so the cop basically throws this fucking packet at me.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, what the fuck is this? And what it was in fucking Carl's handwriting, a fucking complaint written out. Of describing that there was acid in the apartment and blah, blah, blah. So basically, the jig was up.
Like, he wrote it to the school?
He basically wrote a written statement of his complaint.
Yeah.
So
wait, to the cops or to the school?
My hippie roommate has thousand hits of acid in the freezer. Oh,
so
can you please arrest him as soon as possible?
Yeah, they go in the freezer. They wait till the freezer is the last place they look, and they know where it was the whole time. They don't say a fucking word. They just keep asking me where it is. Like, I don't know. They find it in the freezer, and I only had 200 hits on me, thank God, because, like, you know, I'd given Ryan theirs, and Rona had hers, and so I only had 2 sheets. But this was big shit. Like, this was, like, you know,
it's still a Schedule 1.
They're like, yeah, this is serious, you know, like, you're looking at, like, 10 years in a federal penitentiary, like, you need to tell your parents about this shit. But the amazing thing about this is, as big as a felony and as big as a crime as this was, is that that night, like, they took me down to the station. They basically kind of booked me in and told me, like, what I'm dealing with. But after that, I got let go. They let me leave. Like, it wasn't like
they gave you, like, a court date or something?
Yeah, they're just like, make sure that you show up.
And, why did they let you go?
They just let me go. And they're like, you can't go back to your place on campus. So I stayed with Mickey. Remember Mickey?
Mickey Quinn.
Yeah. So this girl that I was friends with on campus, she let me, thank God, she took me in. She let me stay there. And I ended up living there with her. Like, while I fought this thing in court, like, for months on end. I thought I was going to turn 21 in prison, just like the Dead song. Like, it was, like, a real reality. But, like, that's, like, fucking, yeah. I mean, like, basically, I had, like, this huge felony. Like, it was basically the same felony as me, you know, attempting manslaughter.
Yeah.
And they let me go. They just say, you can, just don't go back to your apartment.
Yeah.
If you want to go back to your apartment, you've got to set up an appointment with a security officer or security personnel, and they'll escort you to your apartment. And do not contact or try to approach your roommate.
Carl.
Basic Carl. And which I was like, I will.
Do you remember what happened?
Carlson. How can I forget
his name? Was not Carl Carlson.
Carl Carlson.
It's like Eric Erickson.
Yes, it was.
That's the guy's name on The Simpsons.
That's his name, is Carl Carlson. I swear to God.
Whatever happened to Carl? Did you ever like look him up on Facebook or anything?
You never looked him up? I'm doing it right now.
Looking him up. He wanted to be in the FBI, and I guess this was his fucking I guess this was his
first thing.
He wanted to be a scientist for the FBI, and I guess this was his first spot on his fucking resume. So I ended up getting.
What, did they just give you probation though in the end?
I ended up doing 40 hours of community service in my favorite park in Ithaca, so they can all go suck my dick. I need a system. It costs $25,000.
Private attorneys
poor
and shit.
Fucking father's money back in the day.
Getting special attorneys and stuff like that.
We had to get someone who played golf with the fucking judge so I wouldn't go to jail for 10 fucking years.
It's crazy.
It was my first offense, but it was still
acid's one of those crazy, crazy drugs where you can get totally fucked with it still.
Destroy. Like, I really
What's the point? Do you know what I mean? Like, what? How much? I mean, there's like those horror stories of acid.
They're not even true though.
You know what I mean?
The
damage.
Conspiracy to overthrow the government bullshit, like they say. It's just like, I don't know. I mean, but that's
a sane story. What happened with the girlfriend though?
We stayed together for a couple of years, and then I transferred. I obviously couldn't go back to Ithaca.
Wait, so did you leave Ithaca before Dave?
No, he left first.
And
did you go to SUNY Purchase after?
I went to SUNY Oswego.
And that's, you know, where we met in Oswego.
Who?
Linda.
No, oh, is that the Linda?
So
I didn't even know that.
It all has to do with
acid.
Well,
Roar's alive because of LSD.
I had gotten busted.
Not really. Not really, but you can say that.
You got kicked out.
I would not have my family if you hadn't gotten busted.
Pretty
with
crazy.
That
I never there thought about that.
I've never either. It's very weird.
That is
very
weird.
Trippy.
But I had very, very trippy. I had also gotten busted in Ithaca, and that's why I left. I had gotten busted the spring.
With the cargo pockets.
Yeah, with 2 ounces of weed.
The cargo pocket shirt, right?
In my army jacket.
Yeah.
And a bong in one
the bong,
pocket.
The bong
and
the bong.
The thing in the other. But this was the story, and I, you know, we don't need to do it. This is your life. But like, this is your life, man. Now, this is the story where, like, your father found out the stakes of this thing.
Of addiction?
This was...
Oh,
like,
the
25
grand, you mean?
Well,
what it could do.
This was the first... His innocent... son is this felon. I mean, and the reason that it's fucking
But back then, though, Ellis, you can chalk that up to like being innocent. Stupid and hippie.
Yeah,
and,
I mean, that's basically what you know.
That isn't dope at that point. You know what I mean? They're like, oh, this is behavioral or
totally
a phase.
Just hippie bullshit. Yeah. Like, you know, thinking that, and also not really taking into consideration the consequences of any of my actions at that point in time.
No, I mean your parents' perspective.
But my parents' perspective, yeah. I mean, they were. I mean, I'm. I mean, I just remember, like sitting on the bed and, like, calling my parents. And, like, my heart was, like, beating so heavy that the bed was, like, moving with my heartbeat, like, when I was on the phone with
them. To tell them?
I remember that. Yeah, I remember that.
I remember going...
that bed shaking.
I remember going to jail and being on the... I was on the run, and I was, like, facing, like, 10-year suspended sentence. And I ended up doing a year at this time and getting picked up and ending up in, like, the loop in the cell and, like, coming down and... You know, there's, like, scary people in there. I'm going to do real time. At this point, I think I'm doing, like, a decade and I end up doing a year. But I'm, like, I'm fucking – should be – all I'm scared about is my dad.
I'm in the cell.
I'm like, oh, dad's going to be so pissed.
Yeah, that's exactly what I think about. Like, my mom and my dad. Oh, my God. Now that bullshit, life is over and I'm going to federal penitentiary for 10 years.
Yeah. The feeling.
You know, I'm like, you're right. That was exactly what I thought about, too. I was like, holy shit, my parents. Oh, my God. What am I going to do?
Yeah. When I had... Whenever I was in super fuck-up mode, it was like a feeling like... Just before, like, you know those water slides that are, like, they're straight drops? Like, they're, like, one of these things.
Yeah, yeah, the straight down one.
They're many stories up. Yeah. They're many stories up, and then you get on it, and you fall straight down, and it feels like you're going to fall out.
It feels like it's not going
to
catch you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Whenever I was, I had to tell them. Like, if I was in treatment, or, like, I was going to get fired, or I needed money to go to rehab, or I was going to lose my apartment, and I had to tell them. My parents. I had that moment just before I was going to get pushed down. I was like, okay, I'm about to tell them. I have to say it. Okay, you guys, I fucked up. I'm on heroin. And it's like, run! You're falling down the plane. You know what I mean? It's all going to happen now. Totally. You know what I mean? And then
I tried avoid telling them as much as I could. It was always somebody else calling them to tell them that, like, I'm in jail. I need treatment. You know what I mean? I was such a pussy that it was just like, I'd wait till somebody else did it.
Because, I mean, but I understand completely. I mean, you don't want to just, because you don't want to sound, you don't want to just disappoint them yourself, even though they are going to be with you anyway.
It's like not looking down. You're like, it's
I always remember the first time I had a heroin habit and I couldn't afford it. And I had money, but I couldn't afford the fucking heroin habit. And I had to go to, I checked into Beth Israel.
Yeah.
And I was like, I could tell my parents or I could tell my job.
Yeah.
And I don't know why I chose to tell my parents. If I had told my job, I would have gotten the whole treatment paid for. But I told my parents and my whole, and everything.
And you might have been able to keep the job.
Exactly.
You've talked about this before.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. But it's just one of those things.
And then you went to that bonehead rehab. They gave up your rent-controlled apartment.
That was the worst.
My sister works in the treatment field, and it, like, pisses her off. She's so dumb.
Todd is the guest today, so let's stick with his dumb point. Fucking, I wanted to hear... You told me a story the other day. First of all, the last time Todd was on the show, his father wanted him to take a urine test that he refused to take.
I pretended I couldn't take.
Well, yeah, but you had legit stage fright, too, though.
I did. He just finally came out with it. I pretended I couldn't. I refused. I couldn't take.
No, I mean, I didn't have to pee, but I didn't want to pee either.
Since then,
doesn't matter.
Have you heard from your dad?
No, I haven't. No, we haven't. I haven't spoken.
You haven't talked at all since then?
No.
That's two months?
And I'm screwed. I just got served with papers for a lawsuit. That credit card's like suing, taking me to court.
So what are you gonna do?
I'm fucked. Like a lawsuit or collections?
They're like suing me.
Next level.
Oh shit.
So I'm fucked. I don't know. I gotta call my father and fucking find out what the fuck I can do.
And when's the last time you did dope? Super honest. Granted, you just admitted you just took ecstasy at Fish.
No, I haven't done. It was before Fish because I haven't. I was
Fish
sick.
Was New Year's.
Fish was New Year's, yeah. And I was sick. I got so sick after the show. Like, yeah. I should call out. I went to work the next day and I was so sick that, like, I called
sick
out.
Sick from what?
I don't know if it was from party. I the second night really tore me up, and like I woke up so tired the next day. But I trooped it out and went to work, but I was so miserable, and I felt like I was getting the flu. Then like I called out on New Year's Eve, but they saw how bad I was at work. They were like, "Oh, he's definitely sick." Like,
yeah,
we're not thinking he's just, you know, it's yeah. not wanting to come
what
in.
What are you talking Eve. About? It's, but the question is. When
it's like, when's the last time you did heroin?
It was a couple of days before. It was so like 2 weeks days before fish. So it was a week ago.
When I saw you last,
when's the last time you were dope sick that you did it enough where you got sick?
I mean, we were talking about that. I have like this resistance now. I mean, I'm.
He does it like once a week.
So like it's like I don't feel great, but I'm not like sick. I don't really remember the last time I got
just like
sick. The thing I do now if I get too crazy is like I don't know if I should really I don't know, whatever.
Take Suboxone.
I know. Well, I take the thing I do is I do a fucking so I submerge my I take a ton of benzos the first day and I sleep until I hit the 24-hour mark.
Knock yourself out. So you withdraw in your sleep. So
he does a homemade rapid opiate.
I take like 5 or 6 Xanaxes. I sleep the first day.
How many twos?
I think of like the bars or whatever.
That's a lot.
I just sleep.
See, if I did that, I'd be up walking around the city in
just
a blackout.
24 hours I knock myself out for until I wake up sick. Then I take the Suboxone, take another one, knock myself back out for the first couple hours so there's none of that anxiety or whatever. I let the Suboxone take its hold. And then I wake up and I'm kind of like, all right. You know, I don't suggest it, everyone, but I mean, if you want a rapid detox and you got to take care of some shit,
God improved.
That would be my advice to y'all.
You don't fuck with that kratom stuff, do you?
What's that?
Have you tried kratom?
What's kratom?
It's legal drugs, Todd.
It's like legal Suboxone.
Well, they sell it in the stores. If you take a little,
they're trying to make it illegal now, and it's like basically, it's like they sell it like in like head shops and stuff like
really?
That. Yeah,
what is it? It's like a Suboxone thing. It's like
it's basically like all natural Suboxone is how people describe. And if you're clean and you take a bunch, you sort of get high. But like the description we've got from one Dopey Nation member is basically that like. It's almost like doing like Tramadol or like Darvocet, and then you get the regular withdrawals if you take it all the time.
Okay,
but it'll stave off heroin withdrawals.
Too. Listen, it's time to call this woman now. So,
all right, we want Todd back on the next one. Should we have him on while we do it?
No, Todd's got to go.
All right, come back with Jim.
Yeah.
We'll do something else. You're just going to go in the next room, right?
Yeah. See you later.
Yeah. All right, yeah. Fuck you guys.
This is an author.
No, I'm just joking. Right. Of course I'm just joking. All right, see you later.
We're going to have Chinese food coming during this.
Well.
Do you want to give him money? I have no cash.
I don't think the Chinese food's coming.
Yeah, well, dude, we've been talking forever.
Here, I'll get you back.
Wait, is Jim still coming over?
Yeah,
it's only 10 o'clock.
Okay, Dopey Nation, Todd just left. We're calling Amy Dresner, who wrote a book called My Fair Junkie.
Hello there.
Hello, Amy.
What's going on?
I'm Dave, and this is Chris. How are you?
Hi, I'm good, guys.
Hey, Amy, how's it going?
I'm good. Woke up from a little nappy poo. That's what happens when you get older.
How old are you?
You're not supposed to ask a woman that kind of a question.
How old?
I don't care. I look great.
She's a junkie.
Like
she doesn't give a shit.
I just look like an Apple doll. I don't look my age. I'm fine with it. It's like, I think that ageism is stupid. I mean, it's old, but it's like, hey, I still boned guys in their 20s when I was out there doing my thing. I don't do that anymore, but...
So when's the last time you blew a guy in his 20s?
I saw I got pulled. When I was like a sex addict before this last relationship.
Okay.
I will say, Amy, we haven't read. We just told the Dopey Nation about your book, My Fair Junkie. Neither Dave, neither Dave nor I have read it yet.
Awesome!
We intend to do so, but I did. My friend works in a bookstore, and I mentioned you were coming on, and he said he had it in his hands the other day, and he's going to buy it now. So we just got you at least one sale.
Wow! Fabulous!
There you go.
And you know Amanda Lauren, she does the podcast that blogger.
Yeah, of course I know her. Uh-huh.
She's coming on, and she said that your publicist gave her a free copy of the book. And I thought to myself, where the fuck is our copy of the book?
Copies.
Copies.
Yeah. I don't have that publicist anymore. She did, like, they hired an outside publicist for, like, a couple of months, like, prior to the book release and after. And also, you guys' books need to close. Go buy the book. Come on, man. What writer?
Listen.
I think writer is Bengali for, like, starving person. You know what I mean? I think it's like...
I'd say... I'll guarantee you I'll drop a review on Amazon at the least.
Yeah, we'll
The reviews are great. The reviews, people love it. People love the book. Like, I can't believe it.
Yeah.
What was your favorite review you read about the book so far?
I try not to read the reviews all the time because it's like, you know, I never read, like, I've been writing for TheFix.com, that addiction recovery magazine, for like 6 years. I never read the comments because they always go after me because my pieces are really, like, in your face. And it's like, you know, my father's a writer, and he's like, don't read comments or reviews. They'll either make you think you should have won the Nobel Prize or they're going to make you want to throw yourself out a window. Just, like, don't even do it.
Amy, I was permanently banned from writing for The Fix.
Oh, no. Why?
Because I wrote just like a couple articles for him, and I ended up working for this guy Joe Schrank, who like co-founded The Fix.
That was old days.
Yes,
that was way a billion ownerships ago. Yeah.
So he was already pushed out, though. All right, he was already like gone from The Fix, right? And so I wrote this article, and they changed some wording that said that like I got a girl pregnant in rehab. And she had an abortion, and they changed the wording in the article, and they said something like, I handed her, like, a wad of cash and tissues because I didn't care, which was not true. They just added that. So I shared it on my Facebook page, and I was like, oh, like, new article for The Fix. But it's not true that, like, I handed a wad of cash. And so Joe saw that. Joe shared the article and wrote, like, great article by a fine young man. Too bad the edit at The Fix sucks. So then the editor called me, and he's like, why are interns coming up to me and asking why the founder is saying the edit sucks, which is him? And then after he knew I had some sort of relationship with Joe, I was banned.
Oof.
Yeah.
Listen, do you think Amy called in to hear about your fucking story on the fucking Fix?
I think she might have.
He does this all the time, Amy. I apologize. He hears something.
It's all on me.
He hears something from his life, and all of a sudden, he looks at me. He holds up a finger at me to tell me that he's going to start a story, and then this is where we go. Now,
that's what ball gags are for.
That's what ball gags are for. Yeah, that would be good.
Hey, this
I've
is
never
a.
Had that experience. I have been able to write whatever, anywhere.
Yes.
Okay. Whatever the fuck I wanted, I've never been edited. My pieces have always been exactly the way that I wrote them. I've been extremely supportive. I've had total free reign there, and I really appreciate that. But that's never been my experience.
Mm, nice.
I don't know that I was there when he was there. I started in 2012.
I think that this whole story on our end is thick with paranoia. And Amy, if you can reopen up passages to The Fix on behalf of Dopey, we would love to be in The Fix.
We had a couple articles in The Fix.
We'd like to be in their good graces again.
All right.
Now, I am thrilled to have you on the show. And I see you're doing the rounds of these podcasts. You're on the Mental Illness Happy Hour this morning. Correct? Yesterday?
Well, I mean, I recorded that actually a couple of weeks ago, but they posted it today, yeah.
So is it fun doing all these, like, podcast rounds and stuff?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's part of what you got to do to promote the book because each, you know, podcast has its own group of listeners. And it's like, you know, I want to sell books. I want to get my message out there. I mean, my story's pretty gnarly, and the response I've gotten is, A, it makes people laugh. B, it makes people feel a lot less alone. Makes them feel a lot less ashamed about stuff, and it gives them hope. Like, if I can get sober, anybody can get sober, for real.
Well, you are, as they say, a nice but spoiled Jewish girl from Beverly Hills who was shooting coke in her neck, bottoming out on meth and sex, and being assigned to a chain gang after threatening her ex-husband with a knife and ultimately having to rebuild her life.
That was like, I was like a... The heavy drugs came before the marriage, and I was high on OxyContin when I pulled the knife. I relapsed in the marriage and was high enough to cotton one of the knife on my now ex and got arrested for felony domestic violence and was sent to jail and then sort of lost everything from there. Like, lost my mind, my sobriety, my marriage, everything, and, you know, tried to kill myself, ended up in a psych ward for the, I don't know, fourth time, you know, rehab for the sixth time, you know, bounced around a couple sober livings and sort of developed a sex addiction while I was doing all the chain gang stuff.
I want to back up, though. I want to back up to the first time you decided it was time to hit your neck.
Oh, God. I mean, right? Like, who does that? I don't know. I'd heard... Okay, there had been a kid in treatment, this, like, rich kid junkie, and shot a speedball on his neck, and he had, like, a bruise on his neck. And, like, you know, when you're, like, really deep in your drug addiction, you're kind of, you get the, like, the why not? Like, why the fuck not? You know what I mean? Like, you're just so self-destructive. And so I just thought, I wonder what that's like. And I tied, if there's a scene, it's in the book, and I, like, tied the belt of my robe around my neck and the crawls in the sink and got in there. And thank God I didn't hit an artery because, wow, then I would be dead. Like, yeah. I guess if you hit an artery, you just die immediately. And I don't know the difference between veins and arteries in the neck. Do you? I mean,
no.
They all look the same. I saw something bulging and I was like, that's good.
And there's no reason to shoot in your neck, like, unless you have nowhere else to shoot.
Exactly.
No, I had it blown out my arms or anything like that. I mean, my arms weren't looking great for sure, but like, I couldn't get in my feet. I couldn't get in anywhere else. And I just thought, I wonder what that experience is like. Like, does it go straight to your brain? Is it a better rush? Like, I mean, it was just, you know, the insanity of, like, shooting cocaine for days at a time. I was like, I did that, like, twice, I think, or maybe more. Ugh, it just creeps me out now.
Yeah.
I'm surprised I'm alive, truly. I mean, with epilepsy. That's sorry I had to take a nap, guys, because I'm on, you know, two epileptic medications because meth gave me epilepsy.
What, Dilantin or phenobarbital?
I'm on phenobarbital, yep. The old school one.
The old school barbiturates.
Like every grandma's dog is on, yeah.
Chris once got arrested attempting to rob a veterinarian clinic of phenobarbital. He claimed he had a seizing cat.
Yeah.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah. I stole the wrong meds, too. I stole phenylbutazone, which is like Advil for cats.
You dumb.
I'm dumb.
And he got arrested. He even get the good stuff.
Nope.
No, I've been on that stuff for so many years. I don't even feel it. But I'm on like a secondary medication too. And you know, I get tired. I mean, they're very sedating medications.
Yeah. Were you epileptic? Were you epileptic prior to the meth, or how did that happen?
Oh hell no! No. So I started doing meth in my 20s. And the first time I got into rehab, I walked into a market. I'd been up for 5 days smoking meth. And I walked into a market and woke up in an ambulance. And I'd had a seizure. And that was my first seizure. And I was like, yikes. And, you know, so I went into treatment. And then I was clean for like 5 years. And I was living in Paris. And then I started having grand mal seizures like twice a month. And they were like, what's going on? They thought it was maybe my depression medication, and they pulled them, and they did a bunch of tests, and turns out I have, like, all these weird hyperactive lesions on my frontal lobe. And the guy was like, did you do a lot of drugs? And I'm like, well, yeah.
Like, wee-wee. Like,
yeah, wee-wee. And he was like, did you do a lot of cocaine? And I was like, I did a lot of meth. He's like, you probably from meth. And I was like, fuck. So I've had epilepsy now, or seizure disorder, God, 15 years.
Wow.
But yeah, but you don't, like, once you have epilepsy, you're not, you know, it's not smart to be like, you know, when you relapse, like, I'm going to shoot cocaine, because people often have seizures when they shoot cocaine, and I already have epilepsy, so I'm going to double my chances of having, and I did. I used to shoot cocaine and have a seizure, and so I would go, oh, okay, like, let me lay in a pit of pillows so I don't crack my head open. And then I got the brilliant idea that I would wear a bike helmet. Because I thought, well, if I shoot coke and I have a seizure, at least I won't crack my head open because I'm wearing a bike helmet. And that was my best thinking.
What about taking the phenobarbital before you shoot the coke?
Well, I was taking the phenobarbital every day, but shooting coke still overrode that, you know? Didn't matter. Didn't matter.
Were you ever a heroin person too, or was it all these ups?
No, boo. No, I don't like going down. I'm depressive by nature, so it's like I smoked heroin once, and I just was like, I fell asleep, and I was like, is that it?
Yeah.
I was like, that's boring. No, but I never shot heroin.
So, Amy, tell us a couple of the turning points. You know, you told us one when you got clean for 5 years. Like, what was, like, the bottomed out moments, you know, where you're like, what am I doing with my life? And then what was, like, the last one where you were like, I got to make a change? And how did that, what did that look like?
I mean, I've had so many bottoming out moments.
Just tell us a particularly gnarly one. That's what the nation likes to hear.
I was living in England, and I was dry. I was like, you know, I was sober, but I wasn't working a program or anything like that. And I was doing fashion, and I tried to get off my antidepressants. And when you have like a genetic legacy like mine, it's probably not the best idea to do that. And I had a nervous breakdown, and I split my wrist with a box cutter.
Wow.
And I ended up with stitches in both wrists, and my mom came and got me and took me back to L.A., and, of course, within a couple of months, I was using again. You know, I was like, I can smoke pot. I hate pot. You know, and then I'm smoking pot, and then that led to drinking, and that led to coke, and that led to rehab. And, so that was a pretty dark moment in my life, for sure. But I would say, you know, I've had a lot of different sobrieties, and I guess the thing is, like, you can get sober, you can relapse, and you can still get sober again. Like, relapse is a part of my story, and I think the important thing is to keep coming back and keep trying. And I just had 5 years on Tuesday. And it's
nice.
Like,
awesome.
I'm not in competition with anyone. You know what I mean? Like, there are those people that, you know, they're like, I just decided to quit. Or they went to a meeting and they're like, and I never used again. It's like, I'm not one of those people. Like, that's not my story.
Right.
Like, you know, I get in too much pain and then I know it's going to be a terrible idea. I don't ever think it's going to be different.
Is this 5 years the longest you've had?
I had 7 years without the program, but this is the longest I've had, like really hard to learn the program, like doing the whole deal. Yeah.
Not dry.
Like, yeah. Really, really work. Really working steps, having sponsees, having a sponsor, a secretary, doing the whole deal. And it's like, believe me, I tried to do anything except for, like, I didn't want to go into 12-step. Like, I hated it. When I was first introduced in my 20s as a crystal meth addict, I hated it. I was like, this is creepy. This is, like, some weird Christian bullshit, and, like, I'm a Jew, and no. Mm-hmm. I'm going to meetings for the rest of my life, and what's that shit on the wall, and absolutely not. And I tried everything else to get clean. Like,
Amy,
I'm a shaman. Yeah.
You don't love saying the Lord's Prayer at the end of the meeting? You're not into that?
I won't say it. I will not say it.
I'm Jewish. I love the Lord's Prayer now. I'm like so into it. I like hum it to myself to go to bed at night. I'm like, thank you, Jesus.
You're such a liar.
But seriously, because...
But the creator, like, look at our creator, that creeps me out so much.
Well, it's...
just the word hallowed. Yeah. Hallowed is such a Jewish word.
Yeah. Well, yeah. There's so much anti-Semitic stuff in 12-step. Like, I just throw that stuff out.
Totally, and they tried to divorce it of its like Christian underpinnings, and they didn't successfully.
No,
they did not do that successfully. But the message is still ultimately like really what it shares in common is like what the purest aspects of every major world religion, and then it's clouded by a bunch of antiquated language. Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. I mean, that's the whole thing. It's like when you really boil it down, it's like there's some creepy Christian Oxford group stuff in there still, but it's like. You know, it's like, it is. There's Buddhism in there. There is, you know, psychology and cognitive behavioral therapy. So it's like, if you can sort of open your mind and just kind of pick, you know, it's like, the thing works. It does work.
Well, that's something that I struggle with because I never could get clean. And I have, like, I don't have 5 years. I have 2.5 years, and I'm definitely not in competition with you, and I'm happy with what I have. And I only have a good life because of the 12 steps at this point.
Right.
And I try to tell people that, and I sound so gross.
Like all those people you hated.
Yeah, I sound. So, I'm trying.
I know.
How can we talk about the benefits of the 12 steps without sounding so yucky? You know, like how
I
do
don't
you,
know. I don't know. Like I used to hear people take cakes and like my life's beyond my wildest dreams, and I was just like, I just wanted to stab them. I was like, oh, shut the
I know.
Fuck up.
And now here you I'm are. Like, here you are telling
yeah,
that same
I know.
Story.
And
me
I
too.
I heard myself say that. I was like, oh my God, like when, you know, I was like madly in love, my book was coming out, and I was like, you know, I was super happy, you know, I was like, my life is beyond my wildest dreams, and I was like, dreams really come true, and I was like, you know, of course life, you know, happens, and we broke up, and, you know, whatever, like life happens, but it's like, you know, my life is infinitely better, and I'm much less of an asshole, thanks to the 12 steps.
Right on. I mean, me too.
You know,
but I hate that preachy sound. The preachy sound.
I do too. And that's why, you know, I'm really open to, like, hey, if people want to do, like, smart recovery or refuge recovery or whatever, like, we're all trying to get to the same location. So it's like, however you do it, it's cool with me. I don't think AA is, like, the only way or any of that shit. It's like, hey, if it's not working for you, it's not for you, and that's totally cool. Find something that works for you.
Yeah. I still feel like...
A druggy life is not sustainable, you know? Oh, and you asked me about my other... The other really, really bottoming moment was having slipped my wrist again and being in a psych ward, and my ex-husband saying to me, like, you know, I'm done. Get yourself out and get a job. And I felt really alone, and I was like, you know, I had nothing. And after being in treatment, and I relapsed in treatment, and then they sent me to sober living, and I relapsed there. And then I was sweeping trash, just sweeping bum poo and syringes, and, you know, with, like, all these people that, you know, they were like, I got it with DUIs, basically. I was, like, the one chick there, and I was the one, only person there for assault. It was really, really humbling. And I had this moment where I was like, wait a second, this whole thing, including the chain gang, can be the best thing that ever happened to you, or it can be the worst thing that ever happened to you. It's your choice. And, you know, it can make you bitter, or it can make you better. I mean, that's what's right. But, you know, I was just like, you know, this is the consequences of your actions, Amy. It's not a mystery, you know? So why don't you learn the lessons, embrace what's happening, and make it into something great? And I feel like I did that. I wrote a book, and I let it really change me. Mm. And I can sweep really well now. Like, if you guys want me to come over and sweep your yard or something, like, I'm off and at it.
Well, I mean, it's an intriguing offer. I love your story, and I love that it's just weird, like, when you can actually turn a corner. And I mean, for me, it was like imagining a better life. You know, my life was so nothing, and I wanted it to be something. You know what I mean? It's like, it's as simple as that. I mean, I don't know how else to put it. We had, before you came on, a friend of mine is on the show, and he's not clean, and he's telling these very raucous using stories. And I always wonder, like, if we're doing the wrong thing if we do that. And but it's trying to show both sides of it, so I really appreciate you coming on and hitting us with the clean side of the dopey.
Yeah,
I mean, I couldn't survive that life, and I tried, but I would always end up in the ER or arrested or in treatment within a very short period of time with the way I used. I used really hard, you know, and it's like, I was not functional at all, ever, you know, and so, it just wasn't sustainable for me. Like, good for William Burroughs, you know, who lived till his 90s shooting heroin. Like, God bless him. Like, you know, that's just not, I can't do that.
Well, you don't hear about people living till 90 shooting meth. You hear about them functioning on heroin.
You don't, because they're dead. Well, that's the whole joke. It's like, you know why there are no old speed freaks? Because they're all dead. There are no old speed. You can't. That stuff has Drano in it. You will die. You know, it robs. I mean, I have all my teeth, and I've never had a cavity, which is miraculous. I have epilepsy now, but it's L.A. Fuck it. You know, my teeth look good. That's what matters here. You know what I mean? Who cares if I have, you know, if I flop around on a fish once in a while?
You live in L.A.?
I do.
Where do you live at over there?
West Hollywood, Boys Town.
Okay. And you do AA or NA or both?
I do AA. Just because even though I was mostly a druggie, I mean, drinking made me so out of control so fast, and I would black out so much that it wasn't really, I stayed away from it. Because I like to be, at least with Crystal and Coke, I was like sort of coherent and in control. Like with booze, I had no idea what I was going to do or what would happen. And it was terrifying to me. So I just got sober in AA just because that's where I felt connected. I went to a couple NA meetings, but I just didn't really feel it.
No, yeah, I attempted with NA so many times. I liked NA because of all the junkies and drug addicts, but the message didn't hit me in the same sweet spot.
Yeah, yeah. Well, here in LA, everyone is a junkie and drug addict in AA. Like, AA is the, I mean, you know, it's like everyone's cross-addicted. It's not like when I first got sober in my 20s where I was, like, a tweaker and you had to identify as an alcoholic or they would, like, yell at you and kick you out. Like, that was, like, 20 years ago, AA, LA, you know? It's like, oh, you're an alcoholic or not? I was like, what?
Right.
You know, yeah. That's not, now it's like, it's all the same thing. It's all the same thing. It doesn't matter what substance you use. I have used everything.
I tend to find, though, that the meetings that have that message are the ones I gravitate to more. There still is some of that old-timey alcohol stuff, particularly in, like, the Atlantic group. And I love the Atlantic group because they're super book-based, but, like, basically you can't really share about anything to do with drugs. They actually have Narcotics Anonymous in the corner of the meeting, and they're like, go to them if you have
a problem. Go sit in that circle in the corner.
That's weird. That's weird. And that, Atlantic group is like the Pacific group here?
Yeah. Yes. Yep.
Yeah, that creeped me out, man. I went, and I was like, absolutely not. There was like dudes in suits, and I was like, I almost got kicked out for being loud, and they were like, you can wear a dress if you take a cake, and I like to dress like a 70s bassist from Reseda that just crawled out of a dumpster. I was like, no.
Yeah.
No, this is not going to work for me.
And then, but then no, you also get like the other end of this. Rigidity. I feel like you also get the other end of the spectrum, you know, where it's almost like too loose and too liberal. There's no talk of steps, and it's like
a
group therapy. You know what I mean? It's somewhere in the middle of those two.
Yes. Yeah. Where it's just people complaining, and there's no solution, and you're not getting any tools. Absolutely. Yeah. It's got to be in the middle. Yeah. Absolutely.
Amy, what's the first time? When was the first time you got exposed to meth, to speed?
I was 24. I was living in San Francisco, and
wait, let me paint the picture. You're hitchhiking on the side of the road, and the semi-truck driver pulls over, and he says, hey, baby, you're not going fast enough. No, nothing like that.
No, no. So I moved up there. You know, I was a really good girl growing up. I didn't do any drugs. I didn't drink. I was like a virgin. It was when I was 19 and in college that I never drank or had, like, done drugs or had slept with anybody, and I was like, oh, I'm a freak. Like, I gotta get cracking, you know?
Right, yeah.
And so I felt very afraid of life. Like, we have that fear of everything, and I didn't know what that was. I just felt, like, terrified of everything. And so I moved to San Francisco after, I don't know, my second nervous breakdown and getting fired. Oh, hello.
Sorry.
I remember driving up there, and I was like, you know what? I'm going to say yes to everything. I'm going to say yes to every opportunity that comes my way. Whatever it is, even if I feel grossed out, I'm scared of it, I'm going to have experiences. I'm going to figure out who I am by who I'm not. I'm going to just say yes. And so this was part of my year of saying yes. And it was like, this, I did ecstasy the night before with this pierced couple, and, you know, that never worked on me. I don't think I have enough serotonin and dopamine in my brain. I don't know, maybe because I've been on antidepressants since I was, you know, 21 years old. I've never understood ecstasy. But I was working as a waitress in an Ethiopian restaurant. Oh, God, I was just the worst waitress ever. And this guy offered me some crystal, and I didn't know what it was. I didn't ask. He's like, this will help you get it through your shift. It was like pinkish powder, and I snorted it, and it burned like fire, and I was like, whoa. And I got through my shifts, but I was, like, super shaky and weird, and I was like, I don't like that stuff. That made me feel weird. Fast forward, I'm doing spoken word, and that whole scene, it's the 90s, it's super cool. It's not, like, cheesy like it is now. It was very, very hip and cool then. And someone offered me crystal again, and I did it again, and this time it made me feel very different, and something clicked in my brain. And I just was like, this is how I need to feel for the rest of my life. Like,
right.
I feel normal. And then later I would find out that, you know, my mom had been addicted to amphetamine. My uncle had been addicted to amphetamine. Like, it was very much in my family.
Right. So it was not a coincidence in the end.
No, I didn't know that. But it made me feel like, I was like, I feel beautiful. I have energy. I'm not depressed. I'm creative. Like, why isn't everyone on this? This is what Prozac should feel like. Like, I really didn't get, I was like, it really felt like the magic bullet for me.
Right. I understand that feeling. But we got to run, Amy. I hate to be so quick. I have this crazy people downstairs buzzing in, and Chris is telling me it's time to end it, and you know. But I love having you on, and I will buy your book, and I want everyone in our audience to buy the book. I'm actually going to buy it and read it on my commute because I have a long commute. My Fair Junkie.
That's Amy Dresner, My Fair Junkie. What's the subtitle?
A memoir of getting dirty and staying clean.
Of getting dirty and staying clean.
There you go.
Awesome.
And it's on Amazon. It's on Barnes & Noble. You know, yeah.
You can.
Because I got dirty, like, on the chain gang and with my sex addiction and with drugs, and then I got clean.
It sounds like it's right up our listener base's alley.
Now I'm gonna.
You guys will, and it's super funny too, and it's super raw,
yeah.
Like very, very descriptive of everything. I don't hold back.
Okay. Alrighty.
I'm sorry my segue skills are so horrible. but very exciting to have you on, and I'm going to make you come on again sometime.
Yeah, that was like 20 minutes, guys. Did I screw up? You hate me?
No, we suck. It's not
you.
It's not you. It's totally us. It's totally us. Tell her why.
Well, we do three in a row.
Say it again?
I said, do we need to reschedule longer thing? I feel like we just got started.
Oh, you're used to the longer form.
Yeah.
I looked at...
Oh, your podcasts are in general short? Okay, that makes me feel better.
No, we do...
My alcoholism is making me feel like you guys cut me short. You're like, fuck her.
No, not at all. This is what happened. When I tried to hook you up, or when I tried to get you on the show in the first place, and you were taking a nap, that's when Chris came over, and we were going to like start, and we do hour-long episodes. So we recorded an episode, then you woke up, and my friend came over, so he was the first guest on this episode. Then while you are going, we're at the end of our hour, and somebody's downstairs trying to buzz in, and I freaked out and ended the interview too quickly.
So it's us. We're idiots.
If you want to know the truth, that's the truth of it. Why don't we call this part one?
That sounds great. Let's do it in second part. That sounds awesome.
All right.
I would love for you guys to read the book a little bit and get a feel for my
That's
writing.
What we'll do.
We'll do that.
That is what I will do.
Amy, do you have any sort of contact information if anybody wants to reach out to you? Is that possible or no?
Yeah, I have a website where there's pictures of the chain gang and all kinds of stuff, and all links to all my writing. It's amydresner.com, AmyDresner.com. I'm on Twitter, Amy Dresner. I'm on Instagram, Amy Dresner. I'm on Facebook. I have a Facebook official page, Amy Dresner Official, all that kind of good stuff.
So if somebody writes Amy Dresner, chances are they're going to find you.
Yeah, and I mean, for sure.
Yeah. All right.
Well, we'll put it all up on our site, and I will read the book, and we will get you back on for a really long one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, really long one.
A really long one. So thank you so much, Amy. I really appreciate
all right.
it.
Thanks, guys. I'll catch you later.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
Perfect timing. I just found Jim in
the lobby. We just ruined the interview.
What do you mean?
We had to just wrap it up at the end right
with
there.
This
What's up, dude? Hey, I'm Chris. We're still going. Let's just close it out right now, all right?
All right.
So, what do you got?
Is it rolling?
It's still rolling, yeah.
Oh.
It's still going.
Well, I feel badly that we screwed up Amy Dresner's interview.
We didn't screw it up, dude. It was 25 minutes of gold. We'll get her back for
So we had 35 minutes of Todd using and 25 minutes of Amy Dresner getting clean.
Yeah. There you go.
All right. Well,
that's a nice sandwich.
Stay strong, Dopey Nation.
And toodles.
Wait.
What?
I want reviews. I want you to engage with us on Twitter, get on Instagram, Facebook.
Reddit.
Go to AA, maybe. If you're struggling and on the fence and you don't go to fish, go to AA.
There you go.
And stay strong.
All right. And toodles.
I want to take a walk around the world. I wonder would it do me any good? till I get some money in my pocket, then I guess I'll just have to walk around my neighborhood. But I wanna be good so bad. Wanna be so good, so bad, so bad. I wanna be good so bad. Bad desire's all I ever had. And I wanna take a ride up in the sky. Watch this airplane just pass me by. And I wanna see a Lear jetliner take a dive. Just to show all of these people what it means to be alive. But I wanna be good so bad. Wanna be so good, so bad, so bad. I wanna be good so bad. Bad desire's all I ever had. And my shadow's getting smaller and smaller. And it's time to where I stand. Shadow's getting smaller and smaller. And it's time to where I stand. And I wonder would they pay it any mind when I leave this busted city far behind. I'll take the high road, however far it winds. Because peace and love are very, very, very hard to find. And I wanna be good so bad. Wanna be good so bad, so bad. I wanna be good so bad. Bad desire's all I ever had. Damn it, all these suckers make me mad. And it's all I ever had. And it's all I ever had. Suckers make me mad, and I want to call my dad, and it's all I ever had, 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 and these suckers make me mad, and it's all I ever had, and I want to call my dad, and it's all I ever had, and it's all I ever had.